Good afternoon, Will. Thanks for coming on the show today. The question that Vince and I have been kicking around, and we're continuing the conversation with you, is take Henry Toa out of the mix. Who's Tennessee's best defensive player right now?
Oh, that's a good question. So my reflex is going to be Bryce Thompson, I think, because there are some other guys. Like, I think the ceiling answer might be Emmett Gooden, maybe. There are some other guys I think that you might be more excited about what they could be if they're fully healthy or with another year in the system. I think Bryce Thompson's got a fairly high ceiling as well. You want to see a little more consistency from him, I think. But I think I would start there if I'm trying to think about who might sneak into, like, a second-team All-SEC, third-team All-SEC conversation. I think it's a good point. I think Toa is clearly the guy that is the best player and kind of the face of that defense. But, yeah, you're going to need an Emmett Gooden or a Bryce Thompson or some of those other guys to step into that conversation if Tennessee's defense is going to kind of get where it wants to go.
Are there a number of freshmen that you think maybe could have a big impact on defense, and maybe who are some of those guys that you think can play quickly, and I don't know, maybe be this year's Henry T on defense?
Yeah, I think we've seen this coaching staff, they're not afraid to use a bunch of different guys on the defensive line, and I think a bunch of different guys at linebacker, particularly at outside linebacker. So I'd start there just in general, because I think this staff has done a good job instead of just saying, all right, we got one or two guys here that we really like. Even when you had a Darrell Taylor on last year's team, they're still going to get a lot of guys involved and in the mix. And I think Tennessee's program has progressed to the point where you don't necessarily have to have somebody come in and, you know, be SEC Freshman of the Week or anything like that on the defensive side of the ball. But I think we saw a little bit of that last year with Craveris Crouch, Roman Harrison, some of those guys in the past that could step in and give you, you know, a series here or a series there, something like that. So I think because they've got a lot of upperclassmen experiences, we're just talking about Bryce Thompson and others in the secondary, that, I don't know, it's hard for me to pick one, but I would look there in the front seven and say, is there going to be somebody that can step up? And again, I don't think Tennessee needs them to be a huge revelation or anything like that. And I'm not sure that they have anybody that had the incoming pedigree that Toa Toa had last year. But I think having, you know, just a nice person who can come in on third down, somebody that can come in and give you a series. When Tennessee's been at their best in the past, they had that kind of production from true freshmen where they didn't have to be the star, but they could just kind of come in and give you nice support and make you excited about their future in the years ahead.
We're talking to Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top on the Stanley Fitz and Gates Hotline. Will, what has happened to Alante Taylor, and what are some realistic expectations we can put on his shoulders for this upcoming season?
Yeah, so if we're talking about Bryce Thompson maybe being the second-best defensive player, I think if we went back a year ago today, we would have said that Alante Taylor was Tennessee's best corner, maybe, or at least I would have said that. And I know a lot got put on what happened at the end of the BYU game, and you know, he's had time, and Tennessee's had success to really move past that. So I think if we're talking about the best version of Tennessee defense, you're talking about a lot of confidence in those two guys at corner. And I think, to me anyway, it's those two guys really separating themselves. I think you've got more options at safety and good options back there with McCullough and some others, Flowers, that can do well and give you different looks back there. But, yeah, I think even if Bryce Thompson is going to be a second, third-team All-SEC guy that might take away a receiver for you, for Tennessee's defense to really get where it wants to go, especially while they're still looking for pass rushers in the front seven without Darrell Taylor, I think you need Alante. And I think the recruiting rankings, the opportunities he got as a freshman, all that stuff is there. The potential has been there. And so, you know, maybe, again, a little further beyond some of the frustrations and the disappointments of what happened early last season, as Tennessee's entire defense progresses, he can be somebody that you're also looking at as, you know, I don't think necessarily somebody that might turn pro early if they have a really great year, but maybe that's somebody that can turn into an all-SEC player when they're a senior down the line. If we continue to expect this coaching staff to help players get better, I think Alante Taylor as an all-conference player was a conversation we've had at earlier points in his career, and, you know, there's no reason he can't necessarily get back to that point in the future.
All right, well, let's hop over to the offense. I'm going to put you on the spot here, but I think you can handle it. Those four freshman wide receivers that are coming in, oftentimes when we talk about them and their impact, we almost group them together. They're all four stars. They're all bringing different skill sets to the table. Jalen Hyatt, Malachi Wideman, Jimmy Callaway, D. Beckwith. Rank those in terms of most likely to make a positive early impact for Tennessee.
So Wideman has the highlight reel that everybody, I think, loves the most, and some of that bleeds into the basketball conversation with him. So I feel like of those four guys, I feel like I've talked about him the most in the offseason, and he might have the most buzz. And I feel like Beckwith probably is number two on that list, but I think you're right, Vince, is that we kind of have that conversation interchangeably with some of those guys. I think the word you hear most with Wideman is that he's raw. So you've got freak athleticism, multi-sport potential, that sort of stuff. So here again, if you can get, you know what you're going to get from Josh Palmer. If you can get consistency from Mel Keaton, Brandon Johnson, one of the transfers at wide receiver, then can you slot some of these guys in here as, okay, this is, I'm going to put him in here and he's going to run a go route and he's faster than everybody else. Can I sneak him underneath coverage, that sort of thing? So I think if they, any of those guys, if they get consistent production above them, all of them might have an opportunity to step in and make a bunch of big plays. So just on sheer athleticism and somebody you probably want to get out there and just see if they can make something happen on the field, I would go Wideman one and Beckwith, I think, right behind him there at two, just to say, you know, these are guys that may not have a bunch of catches at the end of the year, but, you know, may be able to give you – they got a couple touchdowns. They made a big play in a game. Maybe Tennessee can get them going early against Charlotte or something like that, especially with the redshirt rules now where you can play these guys. So I would put those two maybe slightly at the top of the list, but I think you're right. I don't think there's much separation in that entire group.
Talking to Will Shelton, game day on Rocky Top. Will, the Tennessee football team has reported to campus. They are undergoing, you know, testing to make sure that everybody is okay in their return. What are you expecting to see or maybe hear some buzz words that you're expecting to hear during this reacclimation period when they start those voluntary workouts on Monday?
I think even in a normal off season, you kind of look to, all right, where does Tennessee need the most help? So, like, it would be great if, you know, you want Harrison Bailey to look great. Sure, that'd be great. But I don't know that Tennessee needs him to be great right away as much as it needs, again, when we're talking about wide receivers. So if Ramel Keaton looks awesome and people are excited about him and he generates a lot of buzz, that would be fantastic. J.J. Peterson or anybody that can play inside linebacker next to To'o To'o, if somebody can generate some buzz there, that would be fantastic. A tight end other than Austin Pope, if, you know, I'm still not even sure who that's going to be if Tennessee wants to run two tight ends. So that, to me, it's those positions, if we can kind of expect the same sort of, all right, who looked good this week? Who you know, came back and they were in great shape and this three-month layoff didn't hurt them or anything like that? Anybody that can separate at wide receiver, anybody after Josh Palmer, anybody at linebacker, inside linebacker after To'o To'o, and I think anybody at tight end other than Pope, I think those are the three where Tennessee could really use the most help. If we're, again, talking about what can the ceiling of this team be, you're going to need more than Palmer and To'o To'o and you know, something in the from the tight end to really get where they're going. So if some of the stud freshmen and, you know, Bailey and some others, if they look great right away, that's awesome. But I think for 2020, you want those particular position groups to have somebody else step up and you know, you got big needs at number two at all three of those positions.
Now, you might answer this question in the preseason magazine, because I know that people can pre-order Game Day on Rocky Top 2020 right now on y'all's website. We'll tell them about that in a second. But what is the ceiling for this team without giving away too many secrets from the magazine?
I think a reasonable ceiling for this team, if they, you know, get one of Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and don't trip up anywhere else, that's 9-3. A 9-3 Tennessee team is going to get Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, something like that. We've said a lot. A Tennessee team that goes 10-3, you don't just have to win the East to make recent history at this point. If you go 10-3, that'd be the first 10-win season since 2007. It would be the first time Tennessee lost less than four games since 2004. Some of those teams,
wow,
like 04 and 07, they get punished because they played great teams in the SEC championship game. So, you know, those are 04 and 07 are three lost teams that got beat by really good, you know, national championship LSU and an undefeated Auburn team. But still, yeah, Tennessee teams have lost at least four games every year since 2004. So, you know, that kind of season I think is one everybody would get on board with. And something I think is still kind of underrated, you move that Georgia game to November. If you beat the Gators, even if you lose to Oklahoma and you lose to Alabama, you're going to go to Athens and control of your own destiny for Atlanta. And we just haven't had that experience because Tennessee's schedule has been so front-loaded for the history of divisional play in the SEC. So, in particular, if you get Florida, you're going to be in the hunt and in the conversation until mid-November, and that, too, we have not seen around here in a very long time.
Wow, that just kind of gave me goosebumps thinking about having that conversation, like, leading up to the holidays. That's a conversation I want to have, and I hope that it can get extended.
Oh, yeah, and it's, again, it's just much better for Tennessee's schedule than, all right, here comes November, can they beat Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, Vanderbilt? It's just a much, should be anyway, kind of a much healthier experience for all of us.
Hey, I just teased the magazine a second ago. It is available for pre-order at gamedayonrockytop.com. What else are you guys working at, working on right now on the website?
So we published today a story that I wrote in last year's Game Day on Rocky Top magazine, which was just looking at Jim Chaney, what he did between the Dooley staff and the Pruitt staff with his stops at Arkansas and Pittsburgh and Georgia. And we published that today because Joel Hollingsworth, that runs our site and is the editor of our magazine, in the magazine there's a huge piece on what happens in the SEC when teams change coordinators too often, when teams change coaches too often. Certainly Tennessee's familiar with all that. And he wrote kind of a smaller version of that piece that's on our website for free today, where folks can out and see not just Tennessee, but every team in the SEC over the last 10 years, how has their offensive and defensive total yardage changed when they changed coaches or coordinators? And a lot of that just gets back to, you know, you're going to do better if you make a good hire. You're going to do worse if you make a bad hire. It's not just about change, but about, you know, productive change. And we've seen that at Tennessee with sometimes you get Sal Sinceri and sometimes you get Jim Chaney. So, but there's just a ton of information in Joel's piece that's there. And the story I wrote on Chaney from last year's magazine, all that is on our website for free right now.
All right. Thanks so much, Will. Oh, and also, I know you grew up a Tennessee fan, obviously, running the website with Joel Hollingsworth. Thoughts on Johnny Majors really quickly, passing away earlier this week?
Yeah, I mean, those are my first Tennessee teams. I wrote something on the website that I had shared on Twitter a couple years ago about a letter I got from, or a letter my grandparents got from Johnny Majors when my first year going to games was 1988, and that's the year Tennessee started 0-6. And you know that as you know, both of us, Heather, you got small kids. You want Tennessee to be good enough in time for your kids to really like them, and you wonder about that sometimes these days. But man, I fell in love with Tennessee with Johnny Majors, even when they struggled early on because of who he was and who his teams were. So yeah, just I mean, no one is more Tennessee than Johnny Majors for sure.
All right. Hey, thanks, Will, so much for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thank y'all.